Mr. Apocalypse is coming. His horizon into view, just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. It might be the very thing you've been longing for. Very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you. Or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Less Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip inside his head, mind, and soul and listen to this week's comments from Less Visible.
Greetings. Greetings and welcome to Dog Poet Transmitting and the Saucer Pod. This evening in the Saucer Pod, we're going to try to ignore the world situation because that is the world situation. And it just goes on and on in the hands of power drunk manipulators who believe they have the reins of the world in their hands, but all they are doing is driving the cart of their own existence to its predictable end and the illusion that consumes them, which is that millions of souls are following them, and which in their minds lends credence to the rightness of their work and direction, and is proof only that fools are easily led and deceived. Reality and the rightness of things are not defined by the amount of people engaged in some version of them. Reality and the rightness of things are defined by an internal course which either leads to reality and rightness or it doesn't, and is also generally demonstrated in an external manner as well. We've all heard that the discovery of the Almighty is an internal affair. The divine does not reside in one specific location in the world outside. One might say that the Almighty doesn't reside externally at all, and it is the devil who resides in external residence, because the external world is the principality of the Horned One, as Scripture so informs us. But, of course, the ineffable can be found externally on occasion. One can meet a singular soul who is housing the divine. I have. Also, the infernal can be indwelling as well. We have seen or met or heard about such individuals. There's an entire people who worship the devil. It's possible that all of the world religions are the habitation of demons at this time. It's also possible there are exceptions to this, and it is possible that our understanding of the meaning of supernal and infernal are simply descriptors that change from one location to the other. In some religions, it is perfectly acceptable to approach the divine through all sorts of avenues that would be anathema to the more conservative and narrow perspectives on what is the appropriate path. It is not the path you take that counts. It's where you wind up at. The problem is that religions seek to define what the divine is, and that is impossible. So fallacy enters in, and eventually fallacy becomes doctrine. Each of us are confronted by a mountain of manifest appearances, or a jungle if you prefer, with a magic mountain in the midst, or a vast ocean in which there can be found a magic island shrouded in mist. All of what is defined as external appearances is really a projection of our own internal confusions. I've sought for God my whole life, and there were times when I was going in the wrong direction, but if the wrong direction and the costs incurred in moving in that direction, eventually led in the right direction, then all you've lost is a bit of time. And since we have eternity, that seems to be okay. Some of us get there directly and some of us very indirectly, but getting there is the point of the operation. I was an early psychedelic voyager, and I could write thousands of pages and never capture more than a portion of the things that happened to me. From the first, my trips were about the ineffable, and I encountered the ineffable in visible form, though it's not what we understand as material form. It was usually a manifestation of the goddess, and often there were holographic Buddhas to be seen as well. Very often there was an interior voice that had all kinds of things to say, and that voice varied depending on where I was in the course of the experience. You might not think that would have anything to do with it, but it did. It was as if the guiding spirit or spirit of presence in any particular place would speak to me. Except during those periods where my altered state might go on for some days because of the power of the experience, I did not get that much internal communication unless I was on a psychedelic. The time came when I fell into unfortunate circumstances, and this was after years of fixed aspiration and austerities. It took a while to crawl out of that, and I'm not sure I ever did. I'm older and wiser now, but not as I imagine I wish I were, based on what I used to be. This is neither here nor there, however. I bring all this up for a particular point to be made. It was about 8 years ago that I was living in Italy, and the communication suddenly became two-way. As I have mentioned, there was no two-way unless I was psychedelicized, but now all of a sudden there was, and it has continued to this day. After decades of pounding against the barriers of my own internal darkness, something has changed. Now, if I wish, I can simply go and sit somewhere or stand, it doesn't really matter, and have a conversation. I don't know where this is going to take me. It has no commercial value. In some ways, it is a burden as much as anything else. I know the listener might find that hard to understand, but so it is sometimes. I have never been able to live a normal life. And things have happened that were never intended by me, but which brought great suffering and often slander upon me. At this point, I'm inclined to believe it has all happened for a good reason, though I cannot see what that reason is. At this point, it is impossible to go in any other direction. Sometimes you have simply gone too far. You've swum out into the ocean, and you are at a point where it is no longer possible to swim back. You will not make it. There's no sign of land upon the horizon, but you must continue. You have no choice. I would mention some amount of what I have heard in recent times, but I think it better that I do not. These are not bad, nor so far out as to be seen as incredible. They're actually good and filled with promise, but they might come off as somewhat self-centric because a lot of it has to do with me. This is reasonable when you think about it, because our internal dialogues have to do with the indwelling and its concern for our own thoughts, words, and actions. It will, of course, involve things we are told about ourselves and what might await us. For some of us, our lives are relatively blessed, and for others, the road is fraught with difficulties. Mine seems to be of the latter type. There are always good reasons for this, and sometimes when one has a difficult go of it, it results in greater blessings further on. It can also have to do with overcoming obstacles, and each of us have different obstacles to overcome. In all cases, our progress benefits the lives of everyone else because precedent has either been set or further confirmed. A new road has been paved over the wilderness of the unknown, or an existing road has been more defined. In any case, we do not labor only on our own behalf, but on the behalf of all similar souls who might follow after, just as we ourselves have been the recipient of labors that went before. At this time, I'm a supplicant before the throne of Lord Ganesha. And that is because it is through the facility of Ganesha that one is introduced to the ultimate divine aperture for any particular individual. If in his wisdom Ganesha sees that one should be brought to Shiva, then so it is. If Krishna, then so it is. If it be Christ, then so it is. Dinesh is the penultimate fixer and traffic cop, and he facilitates one's onward journey. He can liberate you in a heartbeat, and he can also snare you. He carries the implements of freedom and bondage with him at all times. On my desktop sits a graphic of the Amitabha Buddha. The Amitabha Buddha has been referred to as the Buddha of LSD. He is also the Lord of the Western Pure Land and is known as the Buddha of Boundless or Limitless Light. It is a heaven that he singly created out of relentless austerities performed across five kalpas. The length of a kalpa, which is a measurement of time, according to one form of calculation, is somewhere around 4 billion years. That means for more than 20 billion years he was at it. One should not even try to imagine how long that might be. It is hard to know whether the correct amount of time for a kalpa is 4 billion years or 12,000 divine years, as is also reported, or some other number. Everyone must agree that a kalpa is a very, very long time. I do not know if what we are told is accurate. I do not know if what we remember is accurate. I don't know any of this. What I do know is that the Amitabha Buddha is real, and however he got to where he got to, it took a superhuman, a divine dedication to accomplish it, and I would really like to go there and live where he is, if it can be managed. And I hope that Lord Ganesh will help me with this. Occasionally, some Christian fascist comes around and sneers at me for giving devotion to a god with an elephant's head. But I know that God exists and manifests in many arcane ways, and I've literally seen Ganesh, even if it may be in an altered state, and even if it may have been, you know, not in a really material sense, but certainly looked like it. Anyway, God manifests in many different ways, and there's a great deal of divine science that exists around the existence of Lord Ganesh, and an elephant's head is no more or less absurd than a virgin birth, which I have no problem with. The unfortunate thing about narrow minds that cannot see outside the lens of their own idea of what they believe to be true about something they have no real knowledge of is that it creates religious warfare. And such are the times in which we presently live. Every legitimate religion has a portal to the ultimate. It also has many cul-de-sacs and blind alleys and routes downward, as can well be seen in the Catholic Church of recent times, but that church has a history of brutality and deceit that stretches across the centuries. As I look into the histories of all the religions, I see so much that I wish were not there to be seen, but such is how it is in Kali Yuga. I do not belong to any religion, but I remain open-hearted to any one of them should any being of luminous light from any one of them approach me with the request that I so engage myself in it. I would do so in an instant. Such has not been the case. The most profound of all my contacts with the spiritual world spoke to me of no religion at all. He did discuss spiritual things, but no creed was ever mentioned. I've read a great deal about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I quote him more than anyone else. But I've never had a supernatural experience of him, and the same can be said of the Muslim religion. On the other hand, I've had many supernatural experiences with the Hindu and Buddhist traditions. It is more important for me to speak and seek to live according to the universal truths that are to be found in the scriptures of every bona fide religion. I have not always been effective at this, but I never stop trying. I find much in religious texts that are unacceptable to me and which I consider to be contrary to what I believe is so, and this I can say I have encountered in the Quran and also in the Bible, though I am much more at home with Eastern teachings from which I am certain that everything valid in the other religions emerged from. I take truth where I find it, and that means I pick what there is to be found from the bones of traditions which I feel are either long dead or well on the way to getting there. Every day I watch humanity go by, and every day I wonder where it is that humanity is going, and I suspect humanity must wonder sometimes too, but not as often as it should from what I can see. Life occurs and life goes by, and in what seems little time at all, in retrospect, life has gone. Gone where? Aye, that is the mystery. There are other places to go, and of this I am certain because I have seen glimpses of those places while resident in this dream of a life. Therefore, I seek to prepare myself for the onward journey. I believe this life is nothing more than a proving ground. It's one thing to be 4F in the military, or even Section 8. Section 8 could be a badge of honor, as well as saving your life in the short term. Going 4F or Section 8 spiritually is another matter. I hope to avoid that classification. We're coming up on it, folks. As the dog and pony show of an election comes center stage, we are going to see or hear about some interesting things. Yes, indeed. We don't have to go anywhere, and we don't have to do anything. It's going to turn up right in front of us, however it decides to manifest in that location, which is wherever we may find ourselves. And I'm losing the plot. Anyway, the time has come to stop talking anyway for the moment, because we've come to the end of another broadcast. And I'll see you next week, if there is one. May you be fortunate in these unfortunate times. And that said, greetings, my good friend Lord Ganesh. Om Amitabha. Hail, Lord Jesus Christ. La il alaha il alahu. Much love, Lady Nature. Carry on. Baha'u'llah. Aloha. And aru.
He's long and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. He's coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. He can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, and meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. And no one stays anonymous when he gets you in his sights. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth, he's bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSync Radio Network of Stations.